saw you was at the Sheridan Hotel in 1960.
Right.
Fundraising dinner.
Got you, Tom.
Hello, Wes.
All right, my man.
I hope I'm the worst.
Good to see you. No. Sorry to keep you waiting. Come on over here and sit down so we can get a nice picture taken. That's where you put prime ministers and presidents. Oh, good shot. Shoot a picture of this for me. Well, I want to say that, plenty of jobs, and also to get a fair treatment. And if it isn't fair, to give us your given a pass. See, treat you all right.
I think, Mr. President, I say this in all sincerity. I think you've been doing a great job. I think you've been doing a tremendous job. I think some of your bold moves, some of the things that you've done with the countries that we've had, that relationship, actually, have been our adversaries, and you've developed a rapport with them. I think this is great. I think it was needed. It was long overdue. And with Peking, I think you've developed better rapport with Russia. There's no question about it. And certainly, you've done everything humanly possible to bring the war to an end. You brought back more than 500,000 soldiers, and trying to stabilize the economy. We're opposed to wage and price control, but the time comes that we need to have. As a matter of fact, I think that price and wage control should have been invoked before you were elected president. They worked during World War II. I think that when Truman saw that we got deeply involved in the Korean War, he again invoked wage and price control and established the formulas to how wage increases could be granted. Of course, you inherited this condition, and you're trying to do the best you can with it. We appreciate this. And so far as my organization is concerned, there's a bill being worked on in the Senate, the Harkey's Burt bill. We are very much opposed to this bill. My organization in its entirety, for the following reasons. The pulp and paper industry exports $1,400,000,000 worth of paper per annum.
You do?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is the equivalent 45,000 and 50,000 jobs in the pulp and paper industry.
Where do you get your paper? I thought that we brought most of our paper, from all the rest. We export that much.
I'm sure. These are
southern paper.
We have paper mills in the south for the National Paper Company that practically export all of the output of the mill.
I see. Just like the sugar cane.
No people.
No sugar.
Thank you. So, on the other hand, we import about $900 million worth of paper from Canada.
And this is basically the raw material. In other words, the mills that make it up, your workers are in the primary.
We manufacture the pulp,
right.
Manufacture the paper, and then convert it to various
fibers. I see that. I see that.
Corrugated boxes, envelopes, bags, complete from the cutting of the tree until it's finally converted. Oh, tremendous business. As I said at the White House conference, this industry employs over 750,000 workers. and has a volume of business of over $22 billion per annum. And if you took all of the sundry industry that's connected with it, perhaps employ more workers than steel or auto does.
Yeah, when you get in boxes and all the other things, I don't know what you mean, containers.
Everything.
I mean, it's terrific. You just put all your mail comes down on paper containers.
Paper containers.
Sure.
Oh,
sure.
Sure. So we cover the gap.
Right.
And we certainly, if I am needed to testify on the Hardee's Burke.
We'll need you.
I don't testify because this is a mandate from our union.
See, the difficulty with the Hardee's Burke bill is that it appeals to a lot of businessmen, of course, but of course it appeals to a lot of people in labor, simply on the ground. They figure we're going to export the jobs, you see.
Yes.
And we don't want to export any jobs. But on the other hand, we've got to, when it comes, just like you mentioned, it's this relationship with Russia, Peking, Japan, and the rest. It's to the interest of the United States to increase its trade, not to decrease its trade abroad.
Absolutely.
Because that means more jobs for us. The only problem we've got is to remain competitive.
Exactly.
And if we can remain competitive and see that we don't get unfair treatment from countries abroad, then we'll do all right. If we start to we just decide not to be competitive, we'll just cut you right to pieces.
Oh, sure.
You take the cream out of the
right
lane of $1,450,000.
Oh, we now, these things that I'm getting come from the Falkland Paper Institute, and they're accurate.
Oh, sure. Sure.
There's no question about it. And of course, we're going to be imposing tax on anything that's coming into the United States in a way apparent. Certainly, there'll be reciprocity on us on the other end, and perhaps
it will
in double holes, yes.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing we have to realize, is that we're particularly the Europeans now. They're playing a very rough game. The moment that we start doing anything, the Europeans and the Japanese, the big deals for us in the free world are Europe and Japan.
Right.
And that's where your exports are going there. The great industrial nations. Well, now, the moment that we start raising barriers, they're going to get some out of us.
Yeah.
So the question is, the point is, it doesn't mean we don't give them something for nothing. But on the other hand, they aren't going to take something from us without giving something in return. And if it's bad, they'll give us something bad. That's the name of this game.
That's the name of the game.
So the intention of the Hardee-Burke bill is good. In other words, they say that what they intend is to keep jobs in the U.S. The problem is that the method is a blunderbuss. What it'll do is either, shoot some of our own people. In other words, it might save some jobs, but it might lose more jobs than it saves.
In the long run, I think that would be...
That's what we're interested in. Is it lose more jobs or save more jobs?
I'm interested. I'm the chairman of the Pulp and Paper Union of Europe, and the office in Geneva, Switzerland, and there's 32 countries that participate with this federation and from the pulp and paper industry. My objectives are to see that their standard of living are raised somewhat so that they become less and less competitive.
Sure, so they hire pay a little more.
It might not be in my lifetime or your lifetime, but at least we're planning to see that ultimately the workers of Europe, particularly those of free nations,
and even Japan.
Japan, yes.
Yeah. They're all coming up. They just have a long way to go.
I've got to go to Japan on November the 5th. The paper industry is founding a pulp and paper union. So November the 5th, I've got to go there to make a speech at their founding. Of the pulp paper industry.
Mr. President, you would be interested. Last month we attended his convention and he just merged with the pulp paper sulfite. He now has a combined union.
Yeah.
And the secretary spoke, and I think it was one of the secretaries spelled out of your program, the administration program. Probably got one of the finest receptions that we've got in any labor
organization.
In Denver. How many delegates did you have, Jim?
We have about 2,700 delegates, but the
I was not listening.
Yes, sir.
The morning that I heard James spoke, we must have at least 7,000 or 8,000 people in the arena.
That's really yes, true.
Yeah. Tremendous. And really, James did a tremendous job. And I don't think that in all of his experience, he tremendous reception from that.
What if we could say to you, Mr. President, that Joe Tinelli has been of great support over the last 2.5, 3 years on a broad range of matters. And Jim deeply appreciates the support of the personal and the institutional support.
Well, there's not only been a support there, I'm also aware of the other matters treatment, but then we have to work out some method whereby we can settlement dispute without stopping the mailings, because people will not let the mails be stopped, you know.
Exactly.
And they didn't, they wanted, but the counterpoint of that is that if they're going to give up their right to a work stoppage, then they have to be given fair treatment in return, right, Bill?
Yes, sir.
At least that's our philosophy.
Well, it has to be that way if it's going to work.
So I don't know whether you know, but the president spoke of that. The president signed soon after he was in office an executive order giving broad rights to federal employees to recognize.
That's right.
We've come a long way. It's been 8 years since
then. That's why we've got some of those who have got
it. That's
well, John Bryan, I imagine he is.
Bryan came out for us the other day. He's a good man.
Yes, he is.
Strong.
Yeah, strong. John is very strong.
He's a Southerner.
Yes, sir. He's a Georgia boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's, when I say a Southerner,
he had a lot of position in this last convention. Followed him, Jim Weeks, but Joe Weeks is having an excellent day over there. He's been sure as that, will you? Now, on these two mails we've adopted, I told this to Jim Friday night, a new classification to get away from this feather called crossing of crabs. Now, in these new operations, we have to have welders, electricians, pipe fitters, they're right.
They all make a surgery.
Yes. In some situation, the IAM have a little portion
of the principal
workers.
Yeah.
So what we've done is adopted a new classification called crossing of crafts. And we've taught these men to perform three or four functions.
Mm.
So the company will give these men $1 more, but they will not have to have a man standing there
for
8 hours waiting for something to break to happen so that he can go to work.
Smart.
That
makes fair.
Talking about it.
Commission, as far as I find out, is traveling around lately. People like Joe now are a little bit ahead. Talk about the way that they messaged in terms of their commission work and what it means.
We'd like to talk to you after the election about it.
I'd like to very much.
We deliberately did not say anything about membership because we didn't want to get on the other side.
I'm not
the
one changing.
Such an old trip to see you, Mr. President. Good morning.
See you. I did say about the commission that we didn't want to. Deliberately have not talked about membership on before the election, because it'd be political. But after the election, I want to consult with some top people on this thing, and, you know, as to who ought to be on it, because we want to be sure we have the right to have it. We want to be sure it's properly balanced. The commission isn't worth a darn unless it's balanced and can accomplish something. If you just have a commission that's one side and the other side's going to walk out,
that's right.
So, if you give that some thought,
I certainly will, and I dedicated some of my good friends.
Yeah, I talked to him.
Yeah, he was talking about it, and I tried to give him some idea. I just mentioned to the president about crossing the crabs.
We haven't actually, on that commission, we haven't even decided the number yet, have we?
No.
So, we've got the number. But all we can say, I believe we've said it, the composition is going to be labor, land management, some tri-government public members, and, but you see, your number. What I think we ought to do is probably we'll let the numbers somewhat be determined by how many we think are needed to fix it, and they'll get the proper representation. But if you'll give, as a matter of fact, you don't have to wait a month, if you talk privately with the chair about what you feel on this, so that we want to get going on that and have that in place by the end of the year.
Okay. Jim and I have had some discussion on already, so we pursue it.
We were just talking about what a good reception you got out there when you spoke at that. Joe's always a great part to be a labor secretary, you know, so you can count around everybody. So, but we were glad to be
with you. There's a lot of union conventions in the last 2 weeks, more than I've ever been to in the previous 3 years, and it seems to me, Bill, that each of you one, the reception gets just a little bit better.
Yeah.
It's just great, but it's an enormous change.
You know, after the convention was over, I went out to see Jim, the hotel for a few minutes, but I stopped off to make a tape at the studio to play on Labor Day. And while I was there waiting to make this tape, they were putting the news together for the evening news broadcast. And they were playing Jim Hudson's speech at my convention. And they were dubbing it in, and they were saying that Although the Secretary of Labor received a warm welcome when he walked in, but during the speech, the delegate sat on her hands, and I said to myself, my God. Now, I saw this with my own eyes. Just an hour and a half ago, as to the kind of reception and applause that Hudson got at least a half a dozen times during the course of his speech. And here the press is just...
They were trying to pick up some. And as a matter of fact, you know, you can make a speech sometime and nobody applauds during it. That doesn't mean that they don't like it. You know, cheer lines can be put in.
Sure.
For that purpose.
Sure.
The question is, how do they think after the speech? And after the speech they were for, that's what counts.
Oh, they stood up and they gave a standing ovation.
Right. That's what counts. Well, shows you what these clients do.
I know. Well, I can't have that.
No, thank you for your...
Thank you.
Now, I want to give you a small little memento. This is a new presidential cuff link with the seal and color right off the flag.
Wow, thank you very much.
So, and for your wife, this is the same thing, but with the seal sticking to the floor, see, there, what you see there, and then it's in the form of a little pin she can wear.
Well, we shall cherish these
for
the rest of our lives.
I'm sorry to not be out of paper, but we could.
Thank you.
Sorry to keep you waiting, but we'll make your date all right.